Welcome to the Weekly Dose Podcast, your one-stop shop for the weekly news in incretin mimetic therapies with your host, man on the Mounjaro, Dave Knapp.
Welcome to the Tuesday, April 23rd edition of On the Pen, the Weekly Dose Podcast. I'm Dave Knapp, man on the Mounjaro. That's why I'm here. You're on the pen. Wegovy, Saxenda, Victoza, Trulicity, Mounjaro, Zepbound, and any other pen that you're no longer to mention on TikTok, apparently. I hope that you're having a great week. I am so excited to bring you the weekly news of incretin mimetic therapies this week. We've got a heavy emphasis on Eli Lilly with the upcoming earnings call this week. We've got some great news about an expansion of manufacturing. And we've got some really cool news about a new biopharmaceutical company. So without any more delay, let's get into it. Metsera. Metsera launched this week. If you have been following this story, put Metsera in the chat. I'd love to hear from you and what your thoughts are. But Metsera is a new company. It is a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company that basically exists to accelerate the next generation of obesity medicine and metabolic disease medicine. In the space of oral and injectable, both incretin and non-incretin, it was founded by Population Health Partners and Arch Venture Partners with a $290 million financing investment raised from a syndicate of leading healthcare investors. This will be an interesting one to watch because they are seeking not only to develop out incretin-based therapies, but the next generation and leading class medicine. So it's a big goal that they have with Metsera, but they are really going to work hard on developing programs from a proprietary library of over 20,000 gut hormone peptides and peptide antibody conjugates. So this will be a very interesting one to watch. Metsera will be on our radar for the near term and the long term. This is going to be a cool company to watch. You may have seen this week, Eli Lilly announced that they acquired a facility in Wisconsin from a company that basically makes injectable medication, right? It's a small family company called Nexus, and it's located in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, and it is an 84,000 square foot facility, recently passed inspection by the FDA. It doesn't currently provide any contract manufacturing service. So as soon as Eli Lilly takes over, that basically means that they can immediately start manufacturing Eli Lilly drugs exclusively. So then the next question is, will it be Zepbound? Will it be Mounjaro? Well, Eli Lilly did say it will be their popular obesity medicines and diabetes medicines, as well as future pipeline medications. Now, this isn't expected to come online for Eli Lilly until sometime in mid to late 2025. But this is a huge acquisition by the company. We talk about different ways that they're, expanding manufacturing. The Concord facility in North Carolina expected to come on a little bit later this year in full force. That will really help the supply. But one of the interesting things to note about the acquisition of this existing FDA-approved facility is guess what they're built to manufacture? Vials. So it'll be interesting to see if this upcoming earnings call on the 30th, one more reason to make sure you hit like, hit subscribe, hit the bell notification, follow me on all the social media platforms. Make sure that you sign up for my email alerts. All this will be linked in the show notes or the description if you're a member watching on YouTube. Make sure you sign up for those email alerts because that call on the 30th will be a very telling call for the Release the Vials campaign, which I think will get good news. I really do think we'll get good news on the vial front. There is no other way in the short term right now from the end of 2024, there is no other way to alleviate the shortages than to either A, turn off new prescriptions, which I don't think they're going to do. You see that they put all of the doses in an FDA shortage except for what? The starter doses. And even those of us who are in the know, we know that those starter doses are even hard to find. I don't see Eli Lilly coming out and doing the Novo Nordisk thing and saying, hey, we're just going to focus on the later doses of these medications. We're going to halt new prescriptions. They're not going to do that. They can't do that. I would expect fully that we will hear some form of single dose vial presentations being released into the United States both for Mounjaro and Zepbound. They both are approved at this point by the FDA. We know, because you follow this channel, that the Zepbound presentation, or the marketing name Zepbound, the trademark name, is only for the United States. We've been told by Eli Lilly in these earnings calls, which is one reason that we follow these so closely. We've learned that they are only going to release Mounjaro overseas. Even if it's a weight loss indication, it will still be under the brand name Mounjaro. So the single dose vials being approved for Zepbound would be specific to the United States market. That's an important thing to understand in this process. Switching to some other news in the world of incretin mimetics, this has to relate to my platform and the platform of other GLP-1 communicators over on the TikTok app. So some big news this week, as the United States Congress passed legislation for foreign aid that basically baked into this package was a bill that would require ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, to basically divest in their Chinese holdings to be able to exist on the American market. Basically, what would happen here effectively is ByteDance, upon signature of this bill, would have 9 months to basically divest, right, and basically be held publicly in the United States in order for them to stay on the Apple and Android marketplaces. If they don't, Apple and Android would then face huge penalties to leave the app on their marketplace, which would be insurmountable for them. So they would de facto remove those from their marketplace. So TikTok would cease to exist as an app on the marketplace, which means it would become a completely irrelevant app in the United States. So that's big news in the world of TikTok anyway, but sort of what's coinciding in this, all of this news about TikTok, is this new community guidelines that they released that are designed in spirit to basically reduce the amount or eliminate the amount of content that exists on their platform that promotes unhealthy eating behaviors or unhealthy weight loss methods, things of that sort. And baked into that community guidelines is violations for anyone who talks about medication that can be used for weight loss. So creators like myself, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, started to notice that if we posted videos, especially those of us who have larger accounts who post about this stuff frequently, and it seemed to especially zero in on those of us who share information about accessibility of the medication, about shortages, about clinical trial data, just information. Any content that I created just went into immediate queue saying it was being reviewed, and it just wouldn't leave that queue. So I made the calculation that if TikTok is going to discriminate against those of us with diabetes and obesity sharing about the medication that we are on, because it seems to be really zeroing in on content creators with obesity or living with diabetes who are sharing about these medications, then I could no longer make content on that platform with a clear conscience until we see some real change. And in order to see real change in this, and in order to get TikTok to stop painting with such a broad brush here and you know, basically having creators who are just trying to put out good information be collateral damage of what's ultimately designed to protect people, until they can address that, I can't make content over there. I'll make content elsewhere where that stuff is not going on. In order for any sort of pressure to be applied, though, we have to have media attention. And so thank you once again to Madison Mueller over at Bloomberg, who is willing to take the lead on this story, to tell the story of myself and other creators that have been targeted, that have had content removed, that have basically had our accounts over there held over our head unless we completely stop talking about these topics, which we won't, which highlights the importance of the community here. If you are a listener to this podcast, either casually or religiously, I really need you to click on the show notes and go sign up for email alerts. That's the only safe place that I can think of to funnel people to for now. Because as you know, no platform is safe once they certain type of content to be against their community terms, against, I mean, they could just basically paint with as broad a brush as they want. And there's no recourse for a creator who has invested years at this point of their life to build a community. And that's what this is it's a community. So if we want to stay in touch, it's imperative that you, yes, follow me on all the social media platforms, but definitely sign up for those email alerts. That's going to be the best way that you can stay in touch with my content. A couple little housekeeping things for this week. I'm not sure about the Thursday night show. I will be out of town for work. I may pop on live, but it'll be a very informal version of On the Pen this Thursday, if at all, due to my work travel. So be aware and be advised of that. But starting on the 30th, we will be covering religiously the Eli Lilly earnings call. You will probably see me pop up on some news shows after that, especially in regards to talking about the Release the Vials campaign. Please continue to use that hashtag. I know that with the banning over on TikTok, it really kind of stopped that campaign dead in its tracks. But if you would, on the platforms that you use, especially when you're talking about the shortage, the hashtag basically is a way to get all of our stories under one searchable term, right? Release the vials. And your stories need to be told. We've told stories of people driving 9 hours to get their medications, calling 300 pharmacies to find their medication, going up a dose, down a dose, skipping a dose, stretching out their dose. All these stories need to be told because these are the stories that resonate with the world who isn't as, you know, deep into these topics as we are. And these stories are starting to be told by the media. And so the more these stories can be told, the more our odds of seeing companies like Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk make, you know, extreme measures to make sure that we are getting the medication that we need. Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of On the Pen, the Weekly Dose. Please consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating and review wherever you get podcasts. We had several people leave some really sweet reviews this week. And so thank you for the kind words, everybody. Thank you for being the best part of what I do here at On the Pen, the Weekly Dose podcast. And of course, over on YouTube, where if you'd like to become a member, you can by clicking the link in the description. $2.99 a month gets you access to videos that are only for members, custom emojis, but more than anything, it supports the work that I do, the efforts that I put into this work, which are great, right? It comes at a huge personal expense of time for me and for my family. So anyone who chooses to give back in that way, you can get on the Pen on Venmo or at Man on the Manjaro on Cash App too. Any gift that you give is super appreciated to help support the work that I do. Until next week, thank you for being here. Thank you for being the best part of what I do, and we will see you next week on the Pen.